It's Wednesday, January 13th. Did a dam just burst in the GOP? We start here. By the end of the day, President Trump is likely to be impeached again, only this time Republicans will call for him to be removed as well.
Liz Cheney went there.
This is no longer about symbolic votes. We'll talk about whether he could actually be convicted. They had intel about storming the Capitol, so what happened to it?
Seditious and conspiracy charges related to the most heinous acts that occurred in the Capitol.
For the first time since the invasion, officials from the FBI speak. And things look pretty great right now if you're an enemy of the United States.
And they do it sitting in their living room in their bunny slippers.
What foreign agents are plotting during a national crisis. From ABC News, this is Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey.
They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
Since his election, there has been an air of invincibility around President Trump in the Republican Party.
Good afternoon and welcome to our special coverage of the Senate trial of President Trump, the final votes today.
He was only the third American president to be impeached, and yet, by and large, Republicans wouldn't budge.
And today, no more mysteries. Every single Democrat will vote to convict the president. Every single Republican, save one, will vote to acquit the president. That Republican, Mitt Romney, he spoke on the Senate floor.
Like, unless you're a senator from Utah or you're never planning on running for Congress again, the cost of challenging Trump was just too great. At least, that was when the costs were about Ukrainian phone calls. But if the costs are American lives inside the U.S. Capitol, does that math change?
There is news coming in at this hour. There appears to be some movement among some Republicans on this.
Last time he was impeached, President Trump was able to say, this is a partisan thing. This is solely the work of House Democrats. Last night, that changed as several Republicans announced they do plan to vote to impeach their president, including the third most powerful GOP voice in the House. This is moving like a freight train all of a sudden. So let's go straight to the Capitol with ABC senior congressional correspondent Mary Bruce. Mary, we actually saw this whole process begin yesterday, this non-binding resolution that demands Mike Pence invoke the 25th Amendment. You said the drama is really today, right? Like, what is about to happen here?
Well, today, the House of Representatives is on the cusp of impeaching President Trump again, something we have never seen in our nation's history, charging him with incitement of insurrection for urging his supporters to march on the Capitol.
That was probably the most scared I've ever been that my life was going to be taken. We could hear the mob just outside. I think
it is remarkable how swift Democrats have moved over the last week to hold the president accountable.
I'm a co-sponsor of the Articles of Impeachment. As soon as I got back to my office on Wednesday from the secure location, I decided it was very important that we called for impeachment.
And you are going to see. We expect all House Democrats to support this, and now a growing number of Republicans.
And tonight, the number three Republican in the House declared she is voting to impeach.
The fact that Liz Cheney, the daughter of the former vice president, came out and not just criticized the president, as some of her colleagues have done, but very clearly stating that she will vote to impeach the president.
Congresswoman Liz Cheney declared the president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled this mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing.
Saying, and I quote, there's never been a greater betrayal by a president of his office and his oath to the Constitution. Because of her position, because she is a member of leadership, that isn't just her taking a stand. That's her sending a clear signal to her party, to other Republicans, that they can get on board.
Yeah, wait, because, Mayor, I was going to say, like, we've seen, like, Liz Cheney herself. She's been critical of President Trump, right? Like, she's, like, there are people who speak out against him. You're saying, like, this changes not just her vote, but several votes. Like, this changes the math of the entire thing.
We have seen Republicans in the last several days walking this very fine line.
You know, he never should have directed that crowd towards the Capitol building.
I called the president, explained to him what was going on. I know he put a tweet out. I begged him to go talk to the nation.
Many of them coming out, criticizing the president's behavior, even condemning some of his language, but being very hesitant to go so far as to say that he committed impeachable offenses and should actually be impeached.
Now, my personal view is that the president touched the hot stove on Wednesday and is unlikely to touch it again.
Liz Cheney went there. And that gives license to other Republicans to go ahead and follow suit. And we should say there's movement as well over in the Senate.
Wait, Mary, just so I'm crystal clear, are we talking like if you need 67 votes in the Senate to convict someone, are you saying we're actually in that territory where a sitting president could be removed?
Given the timing, it's very difficult to see that they could actually impeach the president in the House and hold a Senate trial and remove him from office in just the next week. But remember, impeaching a president is possible even after he leaves office. And that is something that Democrats are very interested in, because, of course, impeachment and conviction could come with serious consequences, right? Former President Trump could then be barred from ever holding federal office again. He could be stripped of his annual pension and other financial benefits. So Democrats want to make sure that this isn't just a symbolic measure, but that it actually has some teeth to it if they go ahead and impeach and are able to convict the president.
Sir, are you saying that impeachment could potentially delay trying to pass the stimulus bill you're about to propose?
Well, look, my priority is to get first and foremost, the stimulus bill passed, and secondly...
Now, the timing has been difficult. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, has said all along that he doesn't think that a Senate trial could begin until the 19th of January. Of course, Joe Biden is inaugurated on the 20th. And it does put Joe Biden and his incoming administration in a tough spot because, of course, Joe Biden also wants the president held accountable, but he also wants to get to work, right? He wants to try to unite and heal the nation.
Can you go half day on dealing with the impeachment and half day getting my people nominated and confirmed in the Senate, as well as moving on the package. So that's my hope and expectation.
McConnell, as far as I know, has not told anybody how he would actually vote in a Senate trial, but I am told by two people close to McConnell that he welcomes the House impeachment vote and that he does.
So what's so remarkable is that now you have Mitch McConnell coming out and signaling, and we have confirmed that he believes that Trump committed impeachable offenses.
Wow.
He's not going so far as Liz Cheney and saying he should be impeached and that he will vote in that manner to convict, but he is saying that he believes the president's behavior is impeachable.
Wow. Okay, so then if you're President Trump, if you're Donald Trump, Mary, do you essentially need these last few days of your term to get back on Republicans' good side? Like, I guess I'm seeing why President Trump finally met with Mike Pence in person, because, like, Mike Pence has the power essentially to remove him from office. Is that what he has to do? Convince GOP lawmakers to get back on his side? And is he doing it?
It's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate.
It certainly doesn't seem the president is really trying. He spoke up for the first time publicly yesterday since the riot, and he showed absolutely no remorse whatsoever. I doubt that's going to be enough to satisfy Republicans who are shocked and horrified by his behavior.
This impeachment is causing tremendous anger.
Now, we have learned the Republican leader Kevin McCarthy told House Republicans that the president admitted to him that he might be, quote, a little bit responsible, but it's very hard to see at this point that that's going to be enough to hold back Republicans who now seem to be increasingly willing to join Democrats in this effort.
For Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to continue on this path, I think it's causing tremendous danger to our country, and it's causing tremendous anger. I want no violence. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, we've seen this referred to as the no regrets tour as President Trump speaks out this week. We'll see if it comes with a political cost for him. That begins today. Mary Bruce in the Capitol. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
If you're wondering how on edge everyone is in Washington, last night, to get to the House floor, you had to go through a metal detector.
Randy, we're all going through metal detectors.
I just went through one, and I just voted. You guys, you know the threat is not on the interior side of the building.
This infuriated several Republicans who, in effect, said, what, do you think we're terrorists? We were literally at risk along with you last week. Now you're trying to score sympathy points.
And you guys did it without any confrontation from the minority.
There were confrontations with Capitol Police, including one congresswoman who set off the alarm, refused to allow her bag to be searched, even though she has demanded to bring her gun into the Capitol before.
Even though I now work in one of the most liberal cities in America, I refuse to give up my rights, especially my Second Amendment rights.
But several institutions seem genuinely unsure of what is obvious anymore. Yesterday, the Joint Chiefs of Staff reminded all members of the armed services that Joe Biden will be their next commander-in-chief and that they must follow the Constitution. So, what are the threats? What are the risks? We hadn't actually heard a single word from FBI officials in public until a briefing yesterday.
To be clear, the brutality the American people watched with shock and disbelief on the 6th will not be tolerated by the FBI.
ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas is with us. Pierre, you attended this briefing. What was the message from federal agents?
Well, right now, it's on hands on deck, a 24-hour-a-day operation.
We are looking at all angles here. We're interviewing witnesses and interviewing subjects as they get arrested around the country and within the district as well.
They said they have over 100,000 tips that they're pursuing.
The Capitol grounds outside and inside are essentially a crime scene, and a scale in which we have literally thousands of potential witnesses and a scenario in which we're going to have, I believe, hundreds of criminal cases.
And I can tell you right now, their focus is on trying to find out more about whether there was a conspiracy to attack the Capitol last week. And they have a situation where there are 50 state capitals that may be under duress that they're looking at in terms of whether they're threats.
The FBI alert obtained now by ABC News citing information that armed protests are being scheduled at all 50 state capitals beginning January 16th.
And also, obviously, the inauguration's coming up, and there's concern, great concern about that.
The FBI has warned an unnamed armed group has called for storming the Capitol if President Trump is removed before January 20th.
Just yesterday, our office organized a strike force of very senior national security prosecutors and public corruption prosecutors. Their only marching orders from me are to build seditious and conspiracy charges related to the most heinous acts that occurred in the Capitol.
The most significant thing out of the press conference is that law enforcement officials, including the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, are looking at the potential of sedition and conspiracy, meaning they really are looking at the possibility that this thing was pre-planned, not spontaneous, that there have been groups working to coordinate this, break into the Capitol, sow discord, get all those people in there, but that this was a plan.
Regardless of if it was just a trespass in the Capitol or if someone planted a pipe bomb, you will be charged and you will be found.
Also, we learned new details about the two pipe bombs that were planted.
Those two pipe bombs that were found both outside the RNC and the DNC offices near the Capitol grounds.
They acknowledged that they might have been planted to as a distraction to get police, you know, confused and separated.
They had timers. We don't know, obviously, exactly why they did not go off. That's being investigated. They were destroyed, disabled.
So I think what we got a sense of is that this situation last week was even more dire than we may have known.
Now to that chilling new report that there was an FBI internal report the day before the siege warning of a violent war at the Capitol, that some supporters were picked up saying, "We get our president or we die."
Well, and your team at ABC was the first to report on that FBI bulletin talking about state capitals. One of the questions D.C. lawmakers had been asking is, like, why didn't we get that kind of warning, right? Like, did no one at the FBI see this coming for us? Well, we're now seeing reports that, yes, the FBI did know about that. So, Pierre, I mean, have you confirmed whether the FBI did have a warning, essentially, that didn't get blasted out widely?
The Bureau acknowledged that its Norfolk office, field office, did get some raw intelligence.
And in this case, we had no indication information was linked to any specific person, but this is a matter of an online discussion.
They claimed that this information did not have specific individuals named, but it talked about violence in general.
We briefed that within 40 minutes to our law enforcement partners, our federal, state, and law enforcement partners.
They claimed that was pushed through the line up into officials in D.C. and counterterrorism officials.
We have to separate the aspirational from the intentional and determine which of the individuals saying despicable things on the internet are just practicing keyboard bravado or they actually have the intent to do harm.
So going forward, Pierre, like, what kind of threats are lawmakers? Are lawmakers experiencing threats over the next several days, weeks, months? Like, has the FBI kind of changed its view on the danger of these threats?
The situation's only getting more tense.
I want to continue to ask all of our residents to stay away from the downtown, to enjoy the inauguration activities virtually, and let our law enforcement keep peace.
The FBI announced that they arrested a man from the Chicago area who made threats that people should be killed on Inauguration Day if they supported Biden and Harris. We have 15,000 or more National Guard coming to the city. This will be a fortress in the coming days. Great concern that what we saw last week could happen again.
All right, Pierre Thomas from Washington. Thanks so much, Pierre.
My pleasure.
Next up on Start Here, no, it wasn't Antifa, but there were likely forces goading on the rioters, what foreign agents accomplished, and what they've got lined up next after the break. With daylight saving time upon us, we're looking forward to more daylight and longer days from March through November, and while setting our clocks forward gives us the illusion of more time, it doesn't necessarily help businesses find qualified candidates any sooner. Fear not, there is a solution. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is your 24/7 hiring partner working tirelessly to connect you with the right candidate. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets distributed to over 100 job sites, ensuring you reach a diverse pool of qualified individuals. Their smart technology scans thousands of resumes, matching you with people whose skills perfectly align with your job requirements. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/start here. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/start here. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Meanwhile, the U.S. government is just trying its best to go on functioning. Health and Human Services went ahead and took that step we had talked about yesterday, recommending states just get the vaccine to anyone over 65 years old. Worry about how many second doses you've got later. The State Department is warning world governments about potential terror threats in Iran.
You don't have to be a former CIA director to see the Iran-Al-Qaeda axis as a massive force for evil all across the world.
But when your country is defending itself against domestic terror, well, those warnings about foreign actors, they hit different. Colonel Stephen Ganyard is a former State Department official. Now he's an ABC News contributor. And Colonel Ganyard, it took like an hour last Wednesday to hear people in Washington start saying, wow, like our adversaries must be just laughing at us right now. What kind of risks does this past week pose for us?
Yeah, I think, Brad, the key here is that the U.S. looks very weak. We're internally disorganized. When you have people storming your own capital, people around the world take notice, and your enemies take notice. You know, there's an old saying that that weakness invites aggression, and we look weak right now, and there are many of our adversaries around the world that are going to look to take advantage of that.
We have to recognize that foreign actors are coming after us. We have to beef up what we're doing to stop this.
China and Russia, as always, you think about what happened with the SolarWinds hack, where basically the Russian government was sitting inside the most of the U.S. government and watching how things go on, exfiltrating all sorts of data.
Russia, suspected of being behind the attack, has denied any involvement. The hackers penetrating Homeland Security and the Energy Department.
You've looked at China and how China does the same thing with the OPM hacks. But you also look how those two countries have used social media to sow fear and distrust. And that's probably the most damaging thing they can do, is sow distrust of U.S. institutions. And they do it sitting in their living room in their bunny slippers. it doesn't cost them much. It's not like where you have to train a spy and you spend years and lots of money and you take the risk of putting somebody into the U.S. When you can do something from home that, you know, is a return on investment, it's a lot better than a spy.
Wait, but that makes me wonder, Steve, like, clearly a lot of these rioters in Washington had ties to homegrown extremist groups, but would foreign actors have potentially been involved in this thing that we already saw?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Really? And I'm sure proof of that will come out soon enough, because they've been doing it since the election in 2016.
Dozens of internet trolls are endeavoring to exploit America's division.
It's quite easy to stir up when sentiment's already high and anger and frustration. It's easy to play on that, and it's easy to amplify it. It's easy to distort views. And we've seen them been doing it for years, and there's no reason to think it wasn't in play this past couple weeks.
That means what? Like setting up a Facebook event and just hoping real humans show up? What is it?
Yeah, but you also think about how they're inciting anger, and they're masters of propaganda, both the Russians and the Chinese. So I'm sure that they're doing it. They would be stupid not to. If they're looking to undermine the United States, it's something that's a very good return on investment for very little effort, and it does great damage to the United States.
And it sounds like you're essentially saying, like, that's the sort of thing you worry about. You worry about just inflaming passions more than you worry about, you know, Iran or somebody being like, oh, we're going to bomb the U.S. right now. This is a great time to take advantage of them. You're not seeing the potential for hot wars in the midst of all this.
I think we need to be careful with China. I think that China is going to test the Biden administration within the first 90 days. I think China is going to do something that is going to be globally disruptive within the first 6 months. They have held their powder here with the Trump administration, but the tension between the U.S. and China is going to turn into something here pretty quickly. It may not be a shooting match, but the relationship with China is going to be very different very quickly when the Biden administration comes in.
It's not so much about punishing China. It's about making sure China understands they got to play by the rules.
Russia, on the other hand, has every reason to just keep things at a simmer, to continue to, death by a thousand cuts for the United States. When you look at Iran and North Korea are really in their own sort of category, in that it plays to their advantage not to do anything for the next couple weeks. You know, North Korea, we heard in the past week or so, Mr. Kim saying that things have been terrible. They've wildly missed the mark on all their economic. COVID's taking a toll. So North Korea is always in bad shape, but it's in particularly bad shape, and they need sanctions relief. So North Korea, just like Iran needing sanctions relief, would be much better served to just play it cool and wait for the Biden administration to see if they can get some sanctions relief. They are in a much weaker position than Russia and China.
And in the meantime, we're talking about adversaries. In our allies, you can see just by the way they've been receiving Mike Pompeo over the last week, that there might not be the same sort of trust that these allies have been used to in the years to come. Antony Blinken taking over the State Department soon. We'll see what happens there. Stephen Gagnon, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
And one last thing. The United States has one official national anthem. But for years, unofficially, this has been known as the Black National Anthem.
Lift every voice and sing.
Lift every voice and sing began as a poem and was set to music in honor of Abraham Lincoln's birthday at the turn of the last century. Since then, it has been sung in churches, schools, community gatherings.
Let our rejoicing arise.
This season, it was played before some NFL games, along with the Star Spangled Banner. Well, now, Congressman Jim Clyburn is asking for it to be enshrined as something more expansive. He says he's always been uncomfortable with the idea that different groups would have different anthems, so he's lobbying for Lift Every Voice and Sing to be our new national hymn.
Stony the road we tried, bitter the chastening ride.
And if you listen to the words, there are clear references to the African-American experience. But by definition, that means they reflect on the entire country. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the white gleam of our star is cast. That is the complicated, bittersweet, hopeful America that we all share.
Something from 1900s, another century, how it's still applicable to today.
Now, scholars and activists alike point out that a song is just a song. Symbolism is not the same as income inequality or criminal justice reform. But Jim Clyburn says the country could afford to be singing in unison right now.
Let us march on till victory is won.
Hey, and by the way, that Hulu documentary from ABC that premiered earlier this week, you can actually hear a clip from start here in like the first 30 seconds. So, I mean, reason enough to stream it right there. You'll see live impeachment coverage today on abcnews.com or the ABC News app. I'm Brad Milkey. See you tomorrow.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.